So today we'll continue the Word of God, the third time of the Leviticus, from the chapter 11. So Leviticus can be divided into two. We will finish, we'll deal with the rest half from 11 to 20. Living a healthy life as a Christian. So last week we discussed what we should do to maintain a healthy relationship with God through Leviticus chapter 1 to 10. So when we begin our faith journey, the most important thing is to know God rightly, to know God's promise and the value of the kingdom citizen. As always I said, though eagerness is important, but before being eager, you should check right direction. So we shouldn't misunderstand God and His will. So if you misunderstand God from the beginning of the life of faith and make God according to your thought, such people become more distorted and fall into false belief as the time goes by. So always keep the direction is the most important thing in your Christian life in mind. So God said to these people who desire to live as God's covenant people, what is a life as God's people is the Leviticus. And in the first part of it, we ascertain that establishing a healthy relationship with God is prior. So we have gone through the Exodus and Leviticus that we are looking at, and you will see it will keep on repeating through the Numbers and Deuteronomy. So the second part of Leviticus is from chapter 11 to the end. The second part deals with the details of living a healthy and blessed life. Just as it was mentioned already, through the Sinai covenant, not all of our lives are made up of laws and rules. But when Christian lives as a people of God, God tells the least law and the standard that His people need for a healthy and happy life without stranding in a sinful way. The heart of God's law and ordinance is to cherish the life and human right of each individual and to build the kingdom of God through fair and justice. With this core value of respect for human rights, love of life, fair and justice, I hope you all to be able to discern and interpret all parts of the Bible, including Leviticus. The content of Leviticus is not telling people how to be saved, but how to live as saved people where we have been sent to. But there are ways and standards which God speaks directly. So I'm repeating again, content of Leviticus is not the way to be saved. It doesn't tell you how to be saved by your doing it. It is for the guidance for the saved people from the life of the death, the Egypt, as a kingdom people, as a kingdom citizen. So throughout Leviticus, you can easily find God speaks directly. So in many chapters of Leviticus, God repeatedly say, I am Jehovah. He emphasizes that God directly makes His people know how to live. So if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, of course you wonder how to live as God's people. So you must know it properly before you get used to your faith life. Regardless of the generations, you must know this value and standard that God has directly told you. By these words, you can live a life of solid faith without being disturbed by the world trend of the generation also discern the world. So do not forget the importance of Leviticus and continue with chapter 11. Today we'll look at the chapter 11 to 12. So as we go through the Old Testament, you probably realize that this is all about the faith, not the law. But it's been, in the past, it's been continuously misunderstood by the many people and the pastors. The Old Testament is all about the law, even though it's talking about the faith, not the law. So, chapter 11 provides a food regulation. So it's very easy to remember that there is a story about food in Leviticus. By number 11, remember the chopstick? Chopstick looks like number 11. So at the beginning of the story of a concrete life that lives as a blessed and healthy people, he tells a regulation about the food. So you should be able to understand regulation, what you should eat and not to eat among the animals of the land, which divided the hoofs and that also chew the cud can be eaten. Fish have scales and a fin can be eaten. Most birds should not be eaten if they are raptors or fed fish. Because God has given us this life guide, He did not explain why we should not eat or eat something. When you read the Old Testament, how to embrace this can be a lot of confusion. So how can you understand this food regulation today? If you look at the New Testament in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 19, then Jesus called the crowd to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into you from the outside which can make you ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of you that makes you unclean." So when the Gentiles were evangelized by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 15, and the Apostle Peter and the church council said, "The Holy Spirit and we have agreed not to put any other burden on you beside these necessary rules. Eat no food that has been offered to idols, eat no blood, eat no animal that has been strangled, and keep yourselves from sexual immorality. You will do well if you take care not to do these things with our best wishes." So we in the New Testament era actually believe that we can eat without prejudice. But here, when referring to the food related to chapter 11 and sexual problem in chapter 18 and social norm in chapter 19 and idolatry in chapter 20, as it is emphasized, God speaks clearly of the command, "I am holy, so be holy." In chapter 18, when God talks about sexual problem, He commanded to live a holy life that is clearly distinguished from the law told Moses to say to people of Israel, "I am the Lord your God. Do not follow the practices of people of Egypt where you once lived, or of the people in the land of Canaan, where I am now taking you. Obey my laws and do what I command. I am the Lord your God. Follow the practices and law that I give you. You will save your life by doing so. I am the Lord." So when God talks about food, things related to sexual matter and idolatrous culture, seeing that God the law speaks of holiness and to live a life as a sanctified, as it speaks. Regarding this regulation, including food, I think that it is necessary to discern the will of God and to think more carefully about why He says so. That is why we can be free from the law today, but you can know the will of God exactly what is revealed by the distinguishing between holiness and uncleanness. And we can live according to His will. So if you don't understand the intention of God, why He said this kind of regulation, you probably misunderstand as a legalism. So it's prior to understand the intention of the God when He gave this word, if you want to understand and apply to today's life without misunderstanding. So chapter 11 deals with the uncleanness that people will experience regarding clean animal and unclean animals. Chapter 12 discusses the uncleanness of the woman after childbirth. Chapter 13, 14 focus on the uncleanness caused by a skin disease, leprosy, called charat. So chapter 15 discusses the uncleanness caused by the secretion from the male and female. So Leviticus 11, chapter 11 is the command of the ban. Chapter 12 to 15 tell us how to overcome when it becomes unclean through many cases. So chapter 11 through 15 are for people living in God's kingdom, provide a clear standard for cleanness and uncleanness. So if so, what distinguishes between clean and unclean? If you think simple, because God, the Creator, knows more about human being than human. You think His word as a guide for our safety and a healthy life and living obedience. So, but our human beings is we are not like simply accept the things. Even children are asking parents, "What's this? What's this? Why is that? Why is that?" But now that Jesus has come to this earth as a living sacrifice, has completed the law. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, about this clean and uncleanness, there are things in ordinances and laws which no longer need to be repeated. That is why it is necessary to correctly discern the intention of God and His will. This is because we can live a righteous life today according to the word that Jesus has completed and God first gave to distinguish His people. Even though God revealed His intention and His will through the Bible, especially in the Leviticus, because the people think it's too hard to understand, hard to read, and they just close the book of the Bible and they just try to listen God's voice in supernatural way. So we don't need to ask His presence by praying. If we live by the word of God, we can experience His presence as is shown in the Bible. Israel didn't ask God's presence and didn't ask come down and show His presence, because when they obey and completely obey to the order of God and His commandment, and God's presence is came down, and all Israelity could experience and observe. So here in chapter 11, there are various interpretations of the criterion of clean and unclean relating to food. The first view is to have a religious meaning for distinction between cleanness and uncleanness. The beasts that symbolized God in the temple of ancient Egypt are classified as unclean animals here. And most of the things that are considered negative here are symbols that are associated with the Gentile belief and should be viewed as objects that should not be contacted. But if you think so, it is not well understood that God does not consider a bull or calf served as idols in various parts of the ancients nearest as unclean. If all the object and object related to the faith of the Gentiles or the pagan sacrifice were regarded as unclean, should not the cattle or calf be missing from the list of the unclean animals? The second view is to have a sociological meaning. The holiness of Israel, which Leviticus regulates, is the order, system, form that Israeli community pursue without objection. Everything else is seen as an uncleanness. Therefore, the criterion of being clean or unclean is a metaphorical expression that reveals social-cultural status rather than religion and historical symbolism. Some say the kind of things that are unclean identified here are those considered ecologically and economically burdensome or inefficient in a survival environment of Palestine. Animals that are not suitable for breeding in the area or less useful became to be considered a disgusting beast that should not be touched, seen, or eaten. But if you look at historical data, in the case of pork, the archaeological evidence that it was very popular in the ancient Middle East seems to be too poor to interpret in this way. The third view is to have a moral and ethical meaning. It is seen as a criterion that distinguish between clean and unclean is to keep away the death and to choose life. So what is meant by clean is denial act of taking away the life of living things. And it is seen an ethical teaching to prevent the loss, leakage, robbery of life force. I regarded the predators as animals that should not be eaten. The reason why shedding the blood and the semen was unclean. The fact is that all of them are a means of implicitly expressing the idea of respect for life. But if there is an idea of respect for life on the back of the teaching to keep the unclean things away, it would be incomprehensible to kill a living animal and offer it as a sacrifice. Fourth view is the reason for a distinguishing between the cleanness and the uncleanness is for food hygiene and healthy life. The unclean food of chapter 11 is mostly harmful or dirty animal for human consumption. It's unsanitary. Eating those things does not make us immediately die, but in the end, it is most likely to harm health. In the past, it was hard to know, but now science and medicine have developed, and we can understand the reason enough. If you eat greasy food, like a pork or dog meat, it is gradually causing the cause of hyperlipidemia. When I was young, I had a lot of exercise, so it was okay, but it gradually affected my body. Eventually, when we grow older, the fat of such animal continue to circulate in the blood and later accumulate in. When it gets worse, it becomes fatty liver. Liver fatigue causes liver cirrhosis. I have come to know what leads to hepatic insufficiency. So if you eat pork, you can go to the hospital instead of going to hell. So in the case of fish, what God has told us not to eat is made no slippery. That is hard to catch. Most of the creature God forbid, even in the case of bird. That is to say, they have acted like a janitor at the top of the food chain to deal with things that can rot and cause infections. Today, environmental hormones are the most accumulated and dangerous thing that people eat. So the Bible seems to have told you not to eat because it is unclean to you, because everybody cannot understand the word about environmental hormone 3,400 years ago. Not only do we today pray for good health, in order to be really healthy, you will be able to live in a healthy blessing that God has prepared if you eat and live with your discretion according to the word of Leviticus. So rather than understand that in terms of the legalism, when you look at the Leviticus, especially the food regulation, if you understand this approach, this is the guidance of healthy eating from the God, and it will help you to live a healthy life. So it is unclean to touch the dead body of the unclean beast or insect. In universally dead bodies, all kinds of germs, parasites, etc. comes out rapidly. So if a person touches it, it is easy to say that because there is a loss of possibility to be contaminated. And it said that when you touch it, always clean body and clothes and clean it. It is also possible that the most likely contagion is to wash in flowing water. That is to say, to make people's health and eventually to live a healthy life of the community. Chapter 12 is in the woman who has a postpartum care as an unclean woman. There is a big health reason to protect a woman who gave birth at the time. When she did not know the importance of hygiene. Today, the concept of disinfection and sterilizations are educated. But it has not been long before this concept of hygiene is introduced. The concept of virus was in generally understood since 1950, since 1960. So we can see the notion of uncleanness in Leviticus as well as the notion of sin, but it also uses something that could harm our health. The chapter 13-14 also teaches prescription to prevent and manage malignant skin disease and infectious disease. Even now, when the epidemic goes on, it is a very serious national problem. And I know that the collective death of millions of people in human history is related to this. That is why God preferred to prevent these things and to create healthy society. And a few years back in Korea, the epidemic disease called MERS was one of the fatal epidemic disease, and a whole entire country was in a panic. And in chapter 15, there is a regulation that evoked the risk of various sexually transmitted disease. They all seem to relate to the intention to maintain a sanitarily clean life. So I think the reason for this healthy life are much more plausible than the three reasons I have discussed above. So God is not trying to make a religious discipline and slave people. These people who are to live as the people of God's kingdom are doing not only spiritual matter, but also things that enable them to live healthily and happily physically. The law and the ordinance of Leviticus are God's will to make the people of Sinai distinguish them as the people of God. If the purpose of Leviticus is for the happiness and healthy life of people, in the covenant to give life and peace. So I think in the olden days, thousands of years ago, nobody knows about the virus. God gave this hygiene regulation and help them to live a healthy life. That's what I think. Isn't that interesting? We've been heard so many times about Leviticus, legalism. But actually, when we look at about it, it's about revealing concerning our healthy life. So God directly spoke about the food we eat because it directly affected people's healthy life. God made it a definite ordinance from the beginning. The case of idolatry, worship, the case of sexual indulging, these demolishes not only the flesh but also the whole order of the God. By creating brute-like a society that only follow instincts. It can be seen that God makes clear the difference between clean and unclean for the physically, spiritually healthy life. So listening to and following God's word who created man, nature, and all living things is a healthy way to obtain a blessing to live long. So what did God promise when Israel complains about bitter water in Marah in early days of Exodus? When God gave him law and ordinance. Exodus chapter 15. He said, "If you will obey me completely by doing what I consider right and by keeping my commands, I will not punish you with any of the disease that I brought on the Egyptian. I am the Lord, the one who heals you." The Lord who heals. Because God gave Leviticus to live blessed, holy, and healthy, doctors treat you through the surgery. But church must help the member eat according to the word of the Leviticus, live according to this word, and to keep the word of God to live a healthy and blessed life. Chapter 16 deals with the Day of Atonement. Once a year, on the 10th of July, the Israelites did nothing and fasted. It was a day of repentance and a cleansing of their sins. On this day, the high priest starts first and offer a sin offering for himself, then for his family. He also offers a sin offering for all people. It also cleanses the sanctuary that is defiled with sin. It was a national atonement day. And on this day, they took two goats and cast lots and offered one to God as a sin offering and the other, called Asahel goat, was put to the wilderness for the sin of Israel. On this day, the high priest was able to bring in the blood of sacrifice to the holy of holy place that can enter once a year. This Day of Atonement was the most solemn day of the people, and it was a day of strict obedience to the law. So if you do not repent correctly and keep this day right, you will be cut off from the position of the kingdom of God. You must know the fear of sin. Sin is to ignore the word of God and to live according to his own desire. This is a trap of death that can never return to God, so God is very strict about sin. The church must be sensitive about what sin is and be well acquainted with the things God has forbidden. God makes sure for Israel to remember this fact fully. by the procedure very carefully and detailed. He leads people to remember this day and to live a year. There are many things in this statute that can be seen as symbolizing the atonement of Jesus. This is often regarded as the core of Leviticus. So we all Christians, we know the end of this way. So we're not taking a wide and convenient way. The way we should take is a way of life. If the end is a life, it doesn't really matter how hard it is, how narrow, how tough it is. But if the end of the way is the road is death, even though it's convenient and wide way, it doesn't really help us. So today we should remember this. Every first week of the month we have a Holy Communion, which is the same meaning of reminding the promise and covenant with God, and remember the atonement of Jesus in every individual, every one of us. Chapter 17 said, never eat blood or fat. So, as I said, when we share the food, the rules of chapter 11, God said we should not eat what is not good for us to live a blessed life in good health. As every one of you know, the fat of the animal is not good for health. And in the same time, we also know it's tasty because of its fatty. So we need to understand the intention when God gives this word. It's not because God loves the blood. That's not why He asking us Israel to offer the blood to His altar. So God wants you to offer blood not because of He likes it, but because it is not beneficial to our blessed healthy life. So it is harmful and dangerous. Chapter 18 speaks of sexual ethics of the holy people. God told Israel to be holy as He told about the food issue in chapter 11. When He talked about sexual regulation here, He clearly ordered not to follow the word, but to live a distinct life. I am the Lord your God. Do not follow the practice of the people of Egypt, where you once lived, or of the people in the land of Canaan, where I am now taking you. Obey my laws and do what I command. I am the Lord your God. Follow the practices and the law that I give you. You will save your life by doing so. I am the Lord. Throughout the Bible, sexual problems are the most serious problem. We can see that God deals with the problem very seriously. Among all ethics, the foundation of the human world is sexual ethics. If the relationship between man and woman collapses, all the ethics, including family, are destroyed. Therefore, it is matter related to sex that God strongly warns us not to follow the custom of the land of Egypt, but also the custom of Canaan. So when we read chapter 18, we come across a sexual problem which is happening today as well, even though God wants His people serious about those sexual sins, it is becoming more serious now. Such a custom that the Canaanites did very casually in the days are still happening. God punishes these people and culture strictly and destroy them, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like Canaan. Now in the world, it's very common to have a sexual relationship between, outside of marriage life, which is a very serious matter in the Bible, and also forbidden by the God, by the regulation. Even God perished the land example of the Sodom and Gomorrah and the Canaan. Because this matter actually perished those cities in the human history. However, people who have antagonism to the church say that through the Canaanite war, God has mercilessly killed people and blessed Israel with unilateral blessing. That is because people don't understand the heart of God, and it's from the total misunderstanding. So if you look at the Bible, chapter and verse 24, chapter 18, verse 24, do not make yourselves unclean by any of these acts, for that is how the pagan made themselves unclean. Those pagans who lived in the land before you and whom the Lord is driving out so that you can go in. Their action made the land unclean. And so the Lord is punishing the land and making it reject the people who live there. So if you look at the Bible, 680 years after Abraham's promise, Israel became the master of the land of Canaan. The years God has given the Canaanites opportunity for repentance and change. Moses and the Israelites were armed with the word of God on Mount Sinai when they went to Kadesh Barnea and spied the first Canaan. The Canaanites knew that tribes of God was coming to them. But Israel failure again wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And it was also the opportunity for repentance for the Canaanites. Even the impending warning of the last 40 years did not make the Canaanites an opportunity for repentance. But they persisted in such a life that God punished it and the earth spewed them. Because if God loves one man, He does not trample others. God never worked like that. Most of the destruction and suffering on the earth are the result of their insistence on their own self and the result of the sin, choosing pleasure in their own eyes. Sexual depravity is a very serious in any age. God strongly warns us not to do this seriously in this chapter. Living pure life in sexuality, it is the standard for this guy, distinguishing whether the man is holy or not. The culture of this age, beyond sexual openness, sexual depravity is beautified as sexy, causing serious problems from children to the elderly. Not long ago, in Korea, the government tried to block porno site and illegal site. However, many people appealed against the government about this acting. This is today's people in this world. People often say it is today's culture, today's law. So they cannot help, but the consequences of such an excuse are very serious. The result of such a sin is not to be resolved by saying sorry, but to be perished. So meditate on the word to be the blessed of the Holy God. Chapter 19 tells about the socio-ethical life in which God's people live. Care for the people, verse 9. To be true to the neighbor, 11 to 18. Do not mix species with other animals, verse 19. Like mixing like the dogs and cats. Nowadays, science is developing and becoming a problem. There is a site called Conversation Between Science and Theology in the Facebook group. It seems to help you to see the Bible right. However, they defend theistic evolutionary theory. they explain old earth. So many young people are confused as if they were enlightened. So it must be well discerned. So there are lots of information on the internet. So as I introduced a couple of the useful the YouTube site, and you carefully discern when you watch all this material on the internet, that it could mislead to the wrong idea. So verse 20 is, do not treat your maid as a slave. Also, do not engrave tattoo yourself or cut gashes in your body to mourn for the dead. Verse 28. If you ask why, God does not say why. But we must not forget that God who created us and He forbid it. He tells His daughter not to be prostitute. But nowadays in poor countries, there are many cases that prostitute their children because of poverty. These things are God's anger and forbidding. God tells not to get close to the fortune teller, the shaman. However, this market in Korea is over ₩1 trillion in a year. And the people who call it a prayer house or spiritual man are doing the same thing that a fortune teller does, even in the church. Also, you can come across the regulation, the man shouldn't shave, but actually, even myself, I don't understand why God gave this regulation. So I want to figure it out together and study together with you all. So chapter 19 tells about social norms such as honoring elderly people for fair life and social justice, using fair and proper balance and a way for the foreigners. And chapter 20 is a sin that must be killed. In chapter 20, talks about the crimes of the death penalty. It appears in the contents of the Sinai covenant already in Exodus. For example, idolaters who sacrifice their children, those who disobey their parents, those who visit shaman, incest, homosexuals, beasts and sex actors, it is set to kill. The people of Canaan have been driven out of the land of Canaan and cannot become masters because they have done so much to the contempt and disobedience of God. And verse 23. The conclusion of chapter 20 is not to kill everything, but to remove evil from among you. The sin that must not be sustained in this world are to be firmly and strictly ruled, so that they do not dare to think of such sins, but strictly rule them, and that no one be cursed by such a sin. So the purpose of God's strong emphasis through the law is to eliminate evil. The evil that brings the whole world to hell does not allow it to stand on this earth. So again, when we see Leviticus, do not look at it as a legalism view. So it should be seen as a preventive view of its purpose. As we have seen before, this tooth for tooth, eye for an eye, and life for life, retaliation law were the first for prevention and the second for correct judgment, fair judgment, not the code of personal conduct. So it shouldn't be understood as a revenge. It's more respecting other lives. In those days, if the servant damaged master, people put the servant to kill, servant to death. But these are retaliation law is to apply for different people, a fair judgment. That in that terms, you should understand eye for eye and life for life. So we have been through up to the chapter 20. I want you to meditate chapter by chapter when you go back home. And by meditating the word, I also want to invite you for the Holy Communion.